for tuning in, everyone. As a reminder, we are recording via Google Hangouts, so the audio quality may be a little different than what you're used to. We thank you for your patience, understanding, and support during this time. Today, I invited three wonderful ladies to join me on the podcast. We have the fantastic Amber Lee, a library assistant, and the incredible Rosemary, who is also a library assistant. And then, of course, we're joined by Emmy, the communications specialist. Hi, ladies.
Hey.
Hello. Hi there.
Some of you may recognize Amber Lee from the Fantasy Football podcast that we released back in December. And you may also recognize Rosemary from the library's social media pages, where she's doing story time and boredom buster videos like how to make Play-Doh. So make sure to check those out as well. Continuing with our theme of docked, where we talk about what staff are doing during the quarantine, Amber Lee and Rosemary are going to talk about physical exercise, especially running, and mental health. Both topics are very important, but some of you may be wondering how to keep up with those things during this time. Rosemary and Amber Lee are going to tell us about the supposed joy of running that I have yet to find in my own life, and how they're keeping up with their mental health, and hopefully at the same time give you some ideas on how to stay physically and mentally healthy. So let's get started. Okay, I want to know from both of you how you became interested in running, because I hate running. So Amber Lee, let's start with you.
Yeah, I think that's the consensus from a lot of people. No, I actually started back in high school. I was running cross country, and I used that to get in shape for my other sports. Funny enough, that actually became my favorite sport and the one that I stuck with the whole time of high school. And I even added long distance track to it. So surprise, surprise, running is now my thing.
I always remember in high school that the people on the track team would have what they called puke days, where basically the coach made you run so much that you threw up. And that was what terrified me about track and running. I think I'm a little bit scarred.
I think that's like every day, but never mind.
You're making it, this whole running thing, really appealing.
No, it really is fun. Total jokes aside.
So Rosemary, how did you become interested in running?
That's really funny. I did not grow up loving sports at all in any way, shape, or form. I think it was just in my like self-discovery phase in my 20s where I was like, how do I learn how to love myself? And how do I learn how to, you know, like think of myself like with kindness? And I like always had body image issues, you know, throughout most of my life. And so, and mostly I also just don't want diabetes. So I got a gym membership and then I started experimenting with like just basic treadmill stuff, classes. And then ultimately I did my first 5K, and like the energy and the thrill of like being in a group of people and seeing all the colorful outfits and like actually completing my first 5K was so wonderful. And then, so primarily I do, and I don't know if like what I do is necessarily called running. I would call it like a very slow jog, but you know, I still finish. You know, I still go and I still am like being outside just feels so wonderful. And, you know, just that moment where whether I'm weightlifting or whether I'm running, like, what if I don't think of myself as fat or thick? What if I think of myself as strong? Like, what if like I actually can move my body? And how does that feel? And ever since I've started thinking of myself in that way, like, I just have this love of like my body in a new way I didn't have before. So I really appreciate celebrating myself in that way.
I like that. I had never thought of running like that before. Usually I think of it as a form of self-punishment. Sounds like you can put a positive spin on it to make it not so punishing. Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite time to go running? I always see people are posting like beautiful sunrise pictures when they're running or sunset pictures. I want to know your favorite time to run.
I struggle with getting up early in the morning. I would love, love, love to do it in the morning and have it start out my day. The couple of times I've actually done that. It's made for a great day. But I have to say, it might not be my favorite time. It might just be the most opportune time for me is right after work. And it really helps kind of help me through my thoughts of the day. I'm allowed to kind of expend all energy and not worry about the rest of the day as well, which is nice. So I can push it as hard as I want it. And really, I'm kind of one of those weird people that likes running in the heat. And so it's going to be warmer in the afternoon. I'm going to go for that versus going in the morning. So yeah, afternoon is what I end up doing usually.
So you like the heat and you like running. Those are, you are a weird person.
Yeah, I'll accept that.
I imagine that running after work also gives you some time to de-stress from work and kind of separate work and home. You have that time to yourself to think and mull over the day, and then once you go home, you're done with work. Rosemary, what is your favorite time to go running?
Amber, that sounds awesome. I definitely go in the morning. I'm one of those crazy people that I generally tend to get up at like 4:30 so I can be at the gym by 5. And I think I do that because I need routine and I need consistency. Otherwise, it's really easy for me to fall off track. The amount of times I've like prepared for a 5K and then I didn't run for like 3 to 4 weeks afterwards, like that's normal and that's okay. You know, like if you fall off, it's okay. Like you just don't give up, but just keep going. So I try to tell myself as long as I go to the gym in the morning, like at least 4 to 5 times a week, like the other 3 days are okay. Like as long as I'm moving my body with intention. But I definitely like posting sunrise pictures. Like it's just so pretty. And I like that. It just, Amberly's right. Like it gets your day off to a good start. And then like I'm done with my workout for the day. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to, like it's just, it's done and it's over. And maybe like I'm asleep. I don't realize what I'm doing, like by the time I'm like halfway done. And it, especially like during COVID, getting up super early means that there's less people. So I feel less anxiety when it comes to like I'm running, but there's so many people around me, you know, like, so I appreciate that there's not a lot of people do it, but morning time in my gym.
I have to say you guys who run in the morning are my heroes, because I'll go to Facebook and see your sunrise photos. If they can do it, then I have to go in the afternoon now. There's like no excuse.
Right. If I go in the morning, it's like I normally don't have school or work at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it does make for that routine. And it's just super easy to keep that. Because, you know, lives get so busy, it's hard to do it at the same time every day, unless it's like, you know, whatever works for you.
That's also what I was going to say. Since I don't have to physically go to work now, I am finding myself sleeping in more and more. And so I feel like getting up early to do some sort of physical exercise helps you keep your routine and start your day off and kind of help keep a sense of normalcy. Even if you didn't do that before, you're still following the schedule, which I feel like is helpful right now. Especially for me, having a schedule has helped me a lot. So what tips you have, say I want to start running, which I doubt that would ever actually happen, unless you like put coffee way at the end of the road, I may run to that coffee, but not otherwise. What tips would you have for me if I haven't run for exercise before?
There's like so many things, and I'm not an expert, so like definitely take everything I say with a grain of salt. This is what I found works for me, but tailor it to yourself. I've definitely found that having goals is really good. One way you can do that is by signing up for like a 5K race or something that you have to work towards. Maybe, you know, running a certain distance within a month, or being able to make it during a certain, you know, in 8 minutes, I can go this far, whatever it is. I think goals are really good. because they also keep you accountable and you can look back and see your progress, which is also very encouraging. Having a schedule, I know I switch it up between like a speed workout versus like a long run, and having that variance keeps my mind focused, but also has that muscle confusion to where you're not bored and you're still making progress. And then also at the same time though, like listening to your body and being very forgiving. I think especially when you're starting out, it's so easy to look at those people that are, 6 minute miles or whatever, and think that that's where I want to be. But be realistic and be kind to yourself. Every little bit is progress. And I think if you ignore your body, you actually hurt it more. So definitely just be kind and listen to what it's needing. Take a break, go for a walk in between your kind of fast starts, if you will. And then also just be intentional on your like eating habits. Definitely hydrate. Eating's my hard part. I fail at that so hard. I love everything terrible for you. So that's one thing that you eventually, like, it does come back to bite you a little bit. So just be aware of it. And then also just have like someone that you can go through the journey with. I know I have some really good friends who are even at the library that run, and we are constantly texting about like what run we did that day. We're doing races together. We're talking about our goals and just kind of having that accountability. It's so much nicer to go with it through somebody, even if you're not physically running with that person. And record it. Like, there's so many good apps out there for recording your distance and your times and stuff. And it's so encouraging to see when you've progressed. So definitely make that a habit, I think, too.
So what you're saying is start at a jog, not a sprint.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You'll discourage yourself from doing it more, I think. I know there have been days where I have pushed it way too hard, and then the rest of the week I don't do anything because I'm in pain. So don't, especially when you're starting out and listening to your body, you don't know what you're going to be able to take just yet. So yeah, jogs are fine.
It counts as running. Okay.
Yeah.
Rosemary, what about you?
Amberly did such a great job. Those were awesome tips. I think she definitely hit the nail on the head in regards to, it doesn't matter where or how, or, as long as you're moving your body, like whether it just starts with walking and then moving up to a jog. And then, I remember hearing, walk until you're bored and run until you can't, like you need to catch up on your breathing or whatnot. And there are lots of really good apps out there. I've had quite a few, or lots of people had Fitbits or Apple Watches. Those are really great for tracking. I like seeing the map of what I've done after I've done it. So I think that helps. And then sometimes those apps even have like challenges where you can have that community of friends where you can challenge each other. And then I like the idea of like varying up the speed versus the distance. Because a lot of the times the goals that I keep for myself aren't necessarily like speed related. I did the 5K while maintaining the same speed the entire time. Like if I can have a slow jog, but I don't have to like stop to walk at all, like that feels like an accomplishment to me, even though it might have been a little bit slower than the last 5K I did where I did the walk jog variation. So there's lots of different ways that you can win at doing it. I think I have a really good friend of mine that's my gym buddy, and she goes with me in the mornings. And I think having like a gym buddy or like a partner super helpful, because even the mornings where I don't feel like going, I know she's there, and I, letting her down isn't an option. So, and like even the texting, if they don't go, at least you can text that person and say, yes, I did go this morning. But I think one of the biggest things is just having grace for yourself. If you don't go for a day, that's okay. But if you go and you try to go for a run and you're just not feeling it that day and you end up just walking, that's okay too.
Those are some great tips, ladies. Thank you. I wanted to circle back to a topic that you both brought up, which is the races. Amberly, you typically help coordinate Mesa County Library staff for the Turkey Trot each year. And I know we have staff that used to be here that have moved on to other jobs that still come and participate with us. And then Rosemarie, you actually did a half marathon last year as well.
Yeah.
So I want to talk to you both a little bit about races. And I know we talked about how it's good for setting goals, but what else about races really motivates you? Rosemarie, we'll start with you.
There are lots of different types of races. Like there's more serious ones. And then obviously there's different distances. Like a 5K is like what, 3.1 miles. And I think my favorite thing about races is there's so much fun. There's music and there's energy and there's, you know, there's lots of different, I've seen people in wheelchairs just roll the whole way, you know, or just families walking with their children, or, you know, just power walking with your girlfriends, or, and then of course at the beginning you have the people who can finish it in like 17 minutes and it's crazy, but I just love the energy and I love the people and the camaraderie. And not only that, but a lot of the times races also are, they benefit special causes. Like the Turkey Trot is for the Firefighters Foundation, or the Sweetheart 5K goes towards, you know, like the Fruta community. So I think it's a great way to do something for yourself and the community at the same time. And then I did a rock and roll series half marathon in San Antonio, Texas in December. And, you know, I've been on my, not even just like healthy lifestyle change, but just like I said, I've been trying to learn how to love myself in newer and better ways. And so my older brother had noticed that, and he's been doing the same thing. He's lost over 60 pounds within the last year, and he's doing such a good job. And he's doing it because he has two children and he wants to see them grow up and he wants to model that healthy lifestyle. So we both have different reasons for doing what we're doing. But last year he said, if you run a half marathon with me, I will house you, I will feed you, and I will pay for your entry fee. And knowing about what he's done and why he's doing it, like, how do you say no to that? And so I said yes to it. I had like 6 to 7 months to prepare. And then of course in December, I flew out to Texas, and then just seeing my family and having that experience, I think it was definitely life-changing and one of the most emotional, wonderful things I have done in my entire life. Like the loud music and the way that there were, I think, 30,000 people who ran in that same marathon, half marathon. And there were people cheering and there were people with signs. It was like, you know, like Baby Yoda signs and like, now that I'm on the spot, I can't think of everything that they had, but they had like little Mario mushrooms that were like tap here for power, or, you know, people handing out tissues, people handing out. And there was even like, they had miles where it was like Mariachi Mile, or there was even, there was like a Blue Mile where it was like dedicating to, like those that have served and those that have lost their lives in service. Mm-hmm. And then they were like people who were serving, like high-fiving us, like, you know, just people in uniform, just high-fiving us as we were running. And it definitely teared up a little bit. But I think that energy and that wonderful like emotion I felt completing it, definitely, like I said before, it's life-changing. You know, like I hugged my brother as soon as I crossed the finish line and just sobbed, you know, because I was so happy and proud and excited about like what we had done together as a family. So races are definitely so much fun. I highly recommend them. And it doesn't matter how you do them, walk, roll, skip, jump, whatever. It's just, they're great things to do.
I love that. I especially love the tap on the sign. I feel like that would motivate me as a person who likes video games. And right. It's also really just heartening to hear all the support that the community gives people. You are supporting the community most of the time with the runs that they're doing, and then they're there supporting you. And I find that really moving and motivating. So So Amberly, let's hear a little bit about your experience with races. I know you also did a Tough Mudder. That seems a little terrifying to me. I remember Elizabeth, who's been on the podcast before, telling me that you had to give each other piggyback rides at one point. So let's hear about your race history a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. The Tough Mudder, wow, that was an experience. And I really think even if you're not a runner, it's so much fun because it's an obstacle course and there are some crazy obstacles. I mean, I had to climb over giant mud hills and I was in like up to my chin in water while doing it, and climbing over giant walls and through tunnels, and like you said, carrying Elizabeth on my back, and then she had to carry me. Like, I did things that I didn't know I could even do, which is great. But that race is so cool because at the beginning, they really push teamwork. It's one of the obstacle races that it's not fully focused on like you. They do have kind of a timed race at the first one of the day, but the rest of them are just people that are out there to work together, to have fun, and they really push the teamwork because there are obstacles out there where you are not gonna make it through if you don't have someone else helping you. So it just is really a great way to bring that kind of community together. And it's so much fun. You get so messy and so just like, it took, I think, 2.5 hours for even a 5K. So a lot of that was like standing in line for the obstacles and stuff. But oh my gosh, so fun. So much fun. I have to say I have not done a marathon or anything longer than a 5K. So Rosemary, again, you're my hero for that. One day eventually, I do want to do a 10K and then work up to like a half marathon. We'll see about a marathon. I love my 5Ks. They're very comfortable and they're the perfect amount of distance, at least for right now. But yeah, the turkey trot's a great one. And especially here in Grand Junction, there is such a huge support from the community. Each year there's like records amount of people coming out. So the starting line is just like, it's amazing to see. You just have to be there, honestly. And I love races. For one, I'm a competitive person, so it's nice to get out there and compete and kind of have that feeling back again. I think it also kind of helps you improve yourself because if you are running against others, I feel like I try harder and push it harder, so it's kind of fun to see what you really can do when you have that kind of dangling in front of you. But yeah, like Rosemary said, it's so much fun because they have music playing. There's so much people out there. Turkey Trot, they have like people dressed up in all kinds of funky things that I don't even know how you're walking, let alone running in. And it really is so much fun. I think you at least have to do like one 5K in your life, and you don't even have to run it. You can walk it, but races are great. And I'm eventually want to do some races that actually take me to like other states and other places that I haven't been. There's like the vacation races. There's some like one that takes place in Yellowstone, one that takes place up higher in the Rocky Mountains and things like that. So I think that's a great way to also like travel and see some different places that maybe you normally wouldn't. So yeah, races are great. Highly encouraged.
So it sounds like you've got some goals for yourself coming up, which we've talked about is important in running, which is great. And we've spent quite a bit of time talking about how you're taking care of yourself physically, but I know that running is also mental. And I want to talk about how you're taking care of yourself mentally. Obviously, we are not trained mental health professionals in any way, but I think talking about this with one another not only helps normalize it, but is going to give our listeners some tips if they're struggling with their mental health at this time. So, Amber Lee, we're going to jump back to you. How are you taking care of yourself mentally, especially during this COVID-19 situation?
Let me just say, it's been a learning lesson every single day on how I can actually improve that. It has been hard, I will say that. But I really try to kind of incorporate several different things into each day. One of the things I try to do is like a learning or kind of brain activating activity. So like reading a book, learning Spanish. I'm not very far on that, so don't test me on that. But I have started. And then also besides something brain activating, something I enjoy, watching my favorite movie, having one of my favorite foods, having a glass of wine, you know, whatever, to just kind of have that moment in the day that I get to enjoy. Because when schedules go back to normal, not always do I get that. So I definitely want to take advantage of that. And then also, I think it's important to do something productive just because that gives you a sense of accomplishment. So I kind of, you know, view that as like spring cleaning or working out in the yard or something that you can like physically see improvement in, I think is really good.
Such as giving your dog a bath.
Yes, giving her a bath is very important as well for my mental health, maybe not for his, but yeah. And then, you know, I think just getting outside too, that's been something I really tried to work on, getting some fresh air and sunshine, even if it's raining, stepping outside.
Before we go to Rosemary, I actually want to jump to Emmy first and hear what Emmy has to say. So tell us about your mental health care, Emmy.
Okay, I'm not going to do that. I am going to tell you guys about my experience with running and then circle back.
And then circle back. Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, so I actually played soccer for like 10 years of my life and I was real good at it.
But what position did you play?
I was midfield.
I was a right back.
So my mom played soccer, so she obviously made her kids do that because it was something that she loved. I think I was the only one of my siblings who took to it and had natural ability. My siblings have ability in other areas. They're not going to listen to this. I don't know why I'm trying to like pump them up. Anyway, so I'm sometimes very sassy. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I got a mouth. And my coach would hear the things I would say under my breath, sometimes a little loud, and I'd have to run laps because it was a consequence for being hilarious. And so I started to hate running because it felt like I was being punished for being hilarious, having a great personality, et cetera, et cetera. So this, I'm talking like kindergarten. So I played soccer up until I think my 7th grade here. And then I was at that point where I was wanting to learn different sports and thus went my own way. But like I was on tournament teams. We traveled for things. Like we were good. And then I moved and then came back for graduation ceremonies and stuff. And I'm still friends with my soccer coach. She's like, Emmy, I just got to say that everything you said was totally valid and warranted, but like I had to make an example out of you so the other kids wouldn't do it. So pissed. I was like, how dare you, like, ruin an opportunity for me to enjoy exercise? And so as an adult, like, I'm not a huge runner, but I do enjoy getting out for walks and hikes, and I'll sprint from time to time. But it definitely is like a mental health thing to have to overcome that, because I was trained from a very young age to hate running. So I'm glad that, like, even Rosemary, like, you're talking about, like, body self-image, like, being able to love what your body can do. That's something I have to try, like, really hard at and think about as an adult when I think about that type of physical exercise. Additionally, you guys are Instagram friends, and I posted a meme the other day that got, like, some crazy traffic on it, and it has to do with running. So I had some friends who were excellent runners when we were kids. Like, my friend Evan Bekus, he ran track and field, like, in college. Like, he got scholarships for this thing, so he's been a very fast person since we were younger. And this meme that I saw was about, hey guys, remember when you're in fourth grade and you would just, like, go run a 5 minute, or go run a 4 minute mile in your street clothes and then go directly to math? And I was like, I'm looking at you. And I tagged these people who I remember when I was in fourth grade being very quick, like lightning speed. And people were so pissed about this. Well, not people. My husband was just like, there's no way a 10-year-old could run a 4 minute mile. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I remember these guys. So I posted a poll about it on Instagram, and people were like, no, there's no way that a child in the fourth grade could run that quickly. And the people who voted yes, like, I agree that this statement is possible, were the ones who were in my, like, fourth grade class remembering these specific people. It's like, yeah, that kid was fast. Like, I think it could do a 4 minute mile. Total sidetrack, but some people find love in exercise and running. And we had a very phenomenal staff training this morning about doing what you need to do for self-care. And for me, like, I didn't grow up with much flexibility. And then probably within the last year and a half, I've discovered yoga and really love it. And that's my way of tuning into that. And so when I wake up in the morning and my body's a little tight, like, I know that's what I need to do versus going for a run. It's just honestly finding what fits for you. And sometimes you feel like an idiot for the first couple months, but if you find that you're feeling stronger at the end of a week, or your endorphins are flowing and you actually have attitude and focus after you get that done, then you just do what you have to do.
Emmy, your comment about your coach making you run actually reminded me, it brought back some repressed memories about my soccer coach. Mm-hmm. He was an ex-Marine. And we had practice at Canyon View, and every day we had to run Canyon View, the entire park, before we started practice. And it was awful because there's this giant Marine behind you telling you to run faster. And I think that's where I got my hate of running from.
So, I mean, and that kind of ties back into, like, different learning styles. And I'm not going to make it, like, a sexist thing, but boys tend to need that type of, like, aggressive motivation. Whereas if someone were to explain to me at 10 years old, like, hey, here's why you exercise, like, here's all these other benefits to it, I would have been like, okay. And then I would have done it. But if you yell at me and, like, you're screaming, like, you need to hustle, I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. That's our contrarian nature. If you tell me to do something, I'm going to do the opposite if you yell at me.
Yeah, it's just, like, basic human psychology, like, understanding what motivates people and how to, I guess, communicate to them in the way that will be beneficial to them. Like, that's just a little more additional work, like, on the coach's side. But they're not getting paid for this. They're probably volunteering because one of their kids is playing. Like, they're not psychologist coaches. They're ex-Marines and nurses and who knows what else. But, yeah, it's the psychology of uncovering all these, like, things as a kid. You're just like, oh, that's why I hate that thing.
Yeah.
You gotta do the best that you can to be better for yourself.
Exactly. Rosemary talked specifically about the fact that you and I are both students, and so that's also an added stress. And I'm sure for some of our listeners, it's also a stress being a student during this time. You and I both do online classes originally, but I know that some people have shifted from in-person to online, and so they're trying to navigate this new era. But yeah, just about school and how you're taking care of yourself and balancing everything you have going on.
Right. I know, it's funny, at the beginning of all of this, I was like, I'm going to have so much time for homework, and I find that I'm still not, I'm getting it done, and I am trying to do my best, but I think understanding that your best varies between day to day is important. I'm very type A, and if learning how to let go and not be perfect is really hard for me. And so last week, I think I went and ran twice, and that was it. And that's okay. You know, that's not bad. You know, on the days that I didn't run, I set a 30-minute timer for myself, and I just said, as long as I move my body with intention for 30 minutes, that's okay. And so whether that 30 minutes is yoga, because I also love yoga, I would use some resistance bands and do some kind of strengthening training, and or if it's just a quick HIIT workout, where you do jumping jacks and squats, and as long as I did something for 30 minutes. I told myself, you're not allowed to beat yourself up, because I tend to beat myself up a lot. So those days where I feel like I have to be productive, but then I don't do as much as I wanted, I have to sit back and write it out and look at what I did and be like, that's okay. So I think one of the things that I think has really made a big deal in my mental health is I have a gratitude journal, and I model it off of the Rachel Hollis version, where I write down 5 things I'm grateful for every single day. And then below that, I write down 10 goals. I just think, what kind of person do I want to be? Who do I want to be in my life? And I write down those 10 goals every single day. I have my master's degree. I speak only of kindness. I eat with intention every day, because I also struggle Amberly, and the food definitely is 80% of that health game. And it is so hard. And so, just writing up those 10 goals of what kind of person I want to be, I think really helps. I think one of the big ones that I've been writing down every day is I give myself the time and self-care that I need, so that I don't fall into that perfectionistic, beat myself up for not doing all of the things all of the time. And, I've also been struggling with, I have so much time. Do I finally relax, or do I get all the things done? And it's, it varies day to day. And I think just writing it out and reading and just going with the flow. And not only that, but being open about how I'm feeling. I think having these meetings, even right now, this podcast, or talking with my department in the morning, or calling my family and letting them know how I feel, I think talking out my feelings has really helped as well. So I saw one of our colleagues, Trevor, who posted that it's physical distancing, not social distancing.
I've been listening to other podcasts as I get work done, and I just listened to one called I Weigh. And it's by Jamila Jamil. She's this activist who talks about body image and other things that you would weigh yourself on versus what's on the scale. And the last episode that I listened to was specifically about loneliness and how people are dealing with COVID and the isolation. And they totally touch on those points too, as far as it's the feeling of not being understood or connected, or that you're dealing with the same thing as other people are dealing, that causes that depression and anxiety. And so it's just the effort of having to virtually connect or write a letter or send a postcard that helps reinforce nope, we're all going to be okay. It's just a matter of making the effort, because physically we just can't do it right now.
I think where I get a lot of my anxiety from, so I have anxiety and depression and OCD, so that it's like a triple threat that just really makes it hard to live sometimes. But what my anxiety stems from is the unknown. And so this period has been really hard for me, because we're not going to go back to normal, right? There's going to be a new normal, but I don't know what this new normal is. I was used to getting up and going to work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. I've came home, did homework, all that kind of stuff, and now that's completely shifted. So something that's really worked for me is doing tasks that I know I can complete and putting my effort into that rather than thinking about what's it going to look like when the library reopens, right? Because I don't know, and I'm not going to know until we get back and actually start working. So, like, for instance, right now we're painting our house. We're painting it white. And so every day I am telling myself I need like 3 hours that I can dedicate to painting, because seriously, we're painting every wall in our house white and it takes forever. So that's something that I've done, is set those attainable goals. And that makes it so I don't have time to sit around and think about what I don't know and what's coming, which is really helpful for me. I also went outside today, which was really nice, and just sat outside and drank some coffee and just enjoyed the day, which I think I've been telling myself that I need to get everything done right now. I need to get all my homework done. I need to do 40 hours of work a week, even though that's not realistic because I don't really have 40 hours of work to do from home. So those attainable goals are really great for me. I've been really bad with my eating, and I've been really bad with like keeping a schedule, but in physical exercise, I haven't been doing very much, but forgiving myself for those things, I think, is important as well. And understanding that like I need to do what I need to do to take care of myself. And if that looks different than what it did before, that's okay.
Yeah. To kind of group two points together, there's only so much that we control. Like, that's mm-hmm. the first thing I learned in therapy, was your responsibilities are how you react and respond to things. Like, you can't control the future. You can't control, you know, what another person is doing or a group of people are not doing, such as, you know, observing a stay-at-home order, but you can do the best that you can. And I think for me, that's definitely helped, is just knowing I'm doing my best. And in kind of tying it back to the cycles of, oh, I set a goal to run this far today, but physically I just couldn't do it. Like, our bodies are on completely different cycles than our mind sometimes. And there's days where I've gone into a yoga class and I'm like, I'm totally going to, you know, kick butt today. And I'm on the floor just laying down for half of it because it's too hot or because I'm exhausted. And then there's some days I go in and I'm thinking, I'm glad I showed up. I'm not expecting anything from myself. And at that point, I'm able to actually do more than I've ever done. And I've reached a new milestone in my flexibility. So just, I think being surprised is always nice, but also having limited expectations and having that grace when we don't necessarily meet our benchmarks on our timeline.
I just love the word grace. Like, I feel like I've been telling myself that, you know, a lot over the last few months, like in regards, especially since I started school, you know, so grad school on top of new job after new job after new job. And, you know, plus the workout goals, plus the maintaining a home, plus maintaining yourself, plus, you know, you can't be perfect in all of the things. So I think grace is such a good word. I love it so much.
Yeah. Well, and looking at the four people who are on this podcast right now, we've all set goals for ourselves in some capacity, whether that be a physical goal or mm-hmm. a scholastic goal. Having grace means that we are allowing ourselves to fail. And failure is sometimes the biggest teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We learn so much more by failing than we do by either not trying at all or getting worked up and not accepting it as a failure. Like, no, like, it's okay. Like, to have that grace is how we move forward as people and as civilizations.
So ladies, we are almost out of time. So I wanted to give you all an opportunity, if you had any last tips or any advice or anything that you wanted to say to the listeners before we end. Amberly, I will start with you.
Yeah, I would just say that running has been like a great thing for me, but it might not be the greatest thing for everybody. Definitely love Rosemary's outlook on this, of just be intentional with your body. That physical health will spill into your mental health. I think as much as your mental health spills into your physical health. So definitely, you know, give it a shot. Running sounds very daunting and scary, but try it once. Hate it if you really do hate it, and then you know. But find some sort of movement that you do enjoy, like yoga was mentioned, weightlifting, HIIT workouts, walking. Walking is so good for you. So just, I think definitely just take the time out to focus on that physical health, because you'll see the benefits sooner than you realize. And I think that's about it. But thank you for letting me talk about something I love so much.
Of course, we're happy to. Rosemarie, what else do you have in terms of tips or any last messages you want to give?
I don't know. First off, like, thank you, ladies. Like, all three of you are wonderful. And I think a lot of my mental health comes from loving my workplace and knowing that I work with such good, amazing, wonderful people. That has helped me mentally in so many ways that I wish I could, like, spill out all of this to you. But I don't know. It's funny how I think getting outside is huge. Normally, getting up so early in the morning, I don't necessarily have outside, like, night running gear. So I normally run in the treadmill in the morning. But it's so interesting how, like, if I'm running outside, like, as the sun is coming up, how different that feels. Even if I'm, like, doing my 30 minutes of intention inside, like, even if it's spent outside walking for 30 minutes or that jog that I prefer to do, it's so funny how different that feels. And, like, we are, if you're one of our listeners in Western Colorado, we live in such a beautiful place, and however you choose to enjoy it is wonderful. And again, you know, you have to do what's best for you, but, you know, I mean, exercise is huge. And thank you for letting me talk about it today, and thank you for letting me spread the love.
Of course.
As someone who doesn't run, but has experienced a physical journey in another arena, I would like to encourage people to not get discouraged if they want to try it. And the first time they do it, it's a total disaster. Like, if you were to teach yourself how to cook, you wouldn't set your goal for the first dinner you make be a 7-course meal. Like, you'd be like, all right, I'm gonna learn how to make mac and cheese. Like, cross that off your list before moving up to it. I'll link it in the show notes because I can't remember what it's called right now, but there's a book about a runner who legit talks about how it took him 35 years to become a runner. Like, it didn't just happen overnight, and it wasn't until he physiologically, like, changed his body to be perfectly fit for a runner's path that he felt like, no, I can say I'm a runner, even though he'd been doing it for more than half of his life. For people looking for some resources for how to maybe get in better shape or find something new, we have a health and wellness resource guide on our website, mesacountylibraries.org. And we are offering magazines through RB Digital that you can access online. If you're looking into backpacking, bicycling, men's health or women's health, we've got all these journals that you can access. And via canopy.com, free with your Mesa County Library card, there's a couple of great courses available that have different sports activities. If you want to look into just, like, the psychology behind that stuff before you get started, there are plenty of resources that people can use to maybe start the journey before actually physically going out and doing those things.
And listen to your body, listen to your feelings. I definitely jumped way too far in when I started my fitness journey and ended up with a serious sports injury that has really put me back in terms of my physical health. And that's not what we want. We want you to be safe, be healthy, listen to yourself, listen to your feelings. And that may sound mushy, as our presenter said this morning, but it's true. You need to be able to understand what you're feeling, both physically and mentally, in order to take care of yourself. So thank you all for coming on. I hope our listeners are able to get some good insight from this And if not, just feel that your feelings are validated. Other people are feeling the same way you are. And it's okay if your goals are small and you go slow and steady. But thanks for listening, and talk to you next time.